Well, this is a bit awkward.
Yeah.
Turns out, despite the many interesting theories that have been proposed over the past month about Kate Middleton's disappearance from the public eye, turns out, actually, she's got cancer.
Yeah.
And has been understandably staying out of the limelight while she undergoes chemotherapy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that story just got a lot less fun.
I will say, in retrospect, it is still very bizarre, all the things that happened.
Yeah, listen.
Putting out a fake photo.
You can't blame the general public for getting a little bit weird about
this. No, this is the royal family's
fault. All things considered.
And the bizarre statement from Kate Middleton, who, in retrospect, was going through aggressive chemotherapy.
And taking Photoshop classes.
Yeah, and being like, from time to time, I like to do some photo enhancement and editing. Like,
it was very suspicious.
There's still some very strange things, but regardless.
Yeah, I mean, she's on video, unless it's some sort of deep fake. I don't know. Seems to be a real video of the princess saying that after she was already due for surgery, and in surgery, they found some cancer. I don't know. Seems like they caught it early.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, you know. We had a lot of fun. We had some laughs speculating about all the fun reasons why Britain's favorite royal had seemingly vanished off the face of the earth. But in hindsight, all that speculation was probably pretty painful for a family already going through this health crisis, and also the king has cancer.
Yeah.
Respecting the royals isn't something we give much of a shit about generally, but that family, it's going through some shit right now. Mm-hmm. And
still, what a cover-up.
Yeah, this is definitely a case. This is a case of the cover-up getting
out of control.
So, yeah, like, I mean, I understand why they would have wanted to keep this, like, hushed up, but, like, this got so much more ridiculous than it would have otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a bizarre saga, and thankfully now it's over, and hopefully she recovers fully, so.
Yeah.
I'm sure she has access to literally the best healthcare process. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, party's over on that story, but fortunately, the universe was kind enough to provide us all with some new royal drama that you don't have to feel mad about, courtesy of none other than Donald Trump. Thank you, Mr. President. Perfect timing, as always. Here's NBC News. Former President Donald Trump suggested in an interview Tuesday that Prince Harry could be deported in light of concerns about his visa eligibility given his past drug use. Following Prince Harry's admissions of past illegal drug use in his memoir, Spare, the conservative think tank, the Heritage Foundation, sued the Department of Homeland Security for access to his immigration records. Those applying for U.S. visas are required to disclose whether they have histories of drug use, which can affect their applications. A judge ruled this month that the relevant documents must be turned over to the court for review. Uh-oh! Can we send Elon back for this, too?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know.
He's been a citizen for a while.
Yeah, unfortunately. It continues. In an interview on Britain's GB News, which I believe is like, it's basically their Fox News.
Mm.
And the interview was with Nigel Farage.
Oh, God.
But Trump was asked whether Harry would receive any special privileges if he were found to have lied on his application. He replied, "No, we'll have to see if they know something about the drugs. And if he lied, they'll have to take appropriate action." Pressed about what appropriate action would entail and whether it would include deportation, Trump replied, "Oh, I don't know. You'll have to tell me. You just have to tell me." You would have thought they would have known this a long time ago. The interview was conducted by Nigel Farage, the former leader of the far-right UK Independence Party and a personal friend of Trump's who has appeared at many of his rallies. Harry, who has recently expressed interest in American citizenship, has been the target of several Trump attacks. In an interview with British journalist Piers Morgan in 2022, he said the prince was whipped like no person he had ever seen.
I mean,
that wife of his walking him like a dog.
Yeah. It's, you know, he's really good at eyeing bad relationships. He did that with Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, no, the man, like, he is, as many have pointed out, he is a sassy gay man in the body of a rich
white conservative.
Like, he always, throughout his long and bizarre career, has cared very deeply about just, like, society stuff.
Yeah, a lot. He loves tabloids.
Yeah.
Yes, so a little strange, but also what's even weirder to me, and I guess this mirrors a lot of American politics, but the fact that Nigel Farage has a platform at all, considering what he did to that country and what he convinced them to do.
Well, he was successful at it.
Yeah.
He's clearly a very influential man.
Sure. I think a lot of people regret the whole Brexit thing.
I don't know. Do they? What's the current status on that?
You let us know in the comments, you Brits. But I feel like Nigel Farage would be some... no one would listen to him.
I mean, I feel like probably half the population feels that way, yeah. But the other half... not so much.
All right, so this is just the right shade of stupid that we were looking for.
The
Kate Middleton stuff, that took a very dark turn. But thankfully, we now have our former and possibly future president being weird and catty about Harry and Meghan. Just the response of like, oh, I don't know.
I don't know. We might have to deport him.
You tell me.
Might have to toss him back over the Rio Grande.
Should I do it, Nigel? Should I press the button?
I'm going to do it. We're going to deport him.
It's absolutely ridiculous that having ever consumed illicit drugs in your life could get you deported from the United States. And it's extra ridiculous when it's a literal prince, fifth in line for succession to the English throne.
Bye-bye.
But hey, look, at least it's an even playing field.
Yeah. We gotta, rules are rules.
Yeah, because Trump's entire thing is immigration these days, he can't make exceptions. Oh, no, no. Not gonna happen.
Mm-mm.
He has to make an example, and that example is Prince Harry. And that Meghan can go along too.
Put him in one of those camps on the border.
She can dog walk him back to the UK. So yeah, we look forward to hearing more and more about Donald Trump's plans to send Prince Harry packing. Bye-bye.
Back to the UK with you, Harry.
He's not nice to Trump. No, sir.
It's so stupid. Because there are like a lot of like good reasons to not like them living in the United States, which is like, I guess it's a strain on like local.
They're taking
budgets.
All the podcast money. They got all those big podcast
they
deals.
They did. I mean, listen, victimless crime. They swindled Spotify.
Yeah, they did.
An evil company. They got Spotify to give them like millions of dollars for a podcast that they recorded like, I don't know, 10 episodes of. And then we're just like, all right, we're done. So, I mean, people point that out and they're like, no, that's a good grift.
Yeah.
That's how you know he's a royal. This is the kind of shit they used to do back in the day.
I don't salute him for his service. I salute him for fleecing Spotify.
I salute him for his drug use.
Yes. I like all the cool parts of Prince Harry.
Yeah. Now, whether deporting Harry actually resonates with the MAGA base, it remains to be seen. And this is a group of people that is very difficult to please. Case in point, the Republicans have had a majority in the House of Representatives for less than 2 years. Just one term. And in that time, they've had two major crises over their leadership that demonstrate a pretty serious lack of unity from their more MAGA members.
Yeah.
The first was as soon as that term started, when it took 15 tries before they could all agree on Kevin McCarthy being House Speaker. And then 9 months later, they voted to remove McCarthy, and it took over 3 weeks and several unsuccessful bids before enough of them agreed on Mike Johnson being the new Speaker. Mm-hmm. And wait, did I say two crises? Because it's actually three. Three crises. Just 5 months after that whole fucking thing, the honeymoon period with Mike Johnson is already over. Mm. And it looks like the MAGA folks want a new House Speaker.
Yeah.
I want a bowl of porridge that's just right.
Yes.
And can you guess who's leading?
We're gonna keep making examples of people until we get the right person.
And last time it was Matt Gaetz. Can you guess who's leading the charge this time? Oh. I bet you can.
Mm-hmm. What's that sound? I can hear it coming from 10,000 miles
dung,
away.
Dung, dung.
She's our Godzilla, folks, and not in a good way.
Yeah, so here's the New York Times.
Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene.
You bitch.
Republican of Georgia on Friday took the first step towards ousting House Speaker Mike Johnson, filing a resolution calling for his removal after he pushed through a $1.2 trillion bipartisan spending bill that enraged the hard right. Quote, today, I filed a motion to vacate after Speaker Johnson has betrayed our conference and broken our rules, Ms. Green said shortly after passage of the package, which was needed to avert a partial government shutdown after midnight. While Ms. Green said she would not seek an immediate vote to oust Mr. Johnson, her move was an extraordinary challenge to his leadership and the second time in less than 6 months that divided House Republicans have weighed firing their own speaker. It's more of a warning than a pink slip, Ms. Green told reporters on the steps of the Capitol. We need a new speaker.
Yes!
And
do it!
Eventually, it's going to come down to me.
There's not going to be anyone left except me, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the voice of real America.
Ugh.
It continues, but her resolution at least held out the possibility that Mr. Johnson could become the second Republican speaker to face an ouster by his colleagues less than 6 months after GOP rebels jettisoned Kevin McCarthy, making him the first ever to be booted from the post. It came as yet another Republican, Representative Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin, announced on Friday he would leave Congress early, narrowing the party's already bare majority to just one vote next month. Before voting began on Friday, Ms. Green rose on the House floor to attack the spending bill, calling it a win for Democrats and assailing measures that she said funded progressive policies. This is not a Republican bill. This is a Chuck Schumer, Democrat-controlled bill, Ms. Green said on the House floor on Friday morning. Our majority has been completely handed over to Democrats, Ms. Green said on the floor shortly before filing her motion, echoing complaints by fellow far-right members of her party that the spending packages Mr. Johnson had agreed to constituted a failure of their majority. This was our power. This was our leverage. This was our chance to secure the border, and he didn't do it, Ms. Green told reporters before leaving the Capitol on Friday. It is a betrayal.
Secure the border? They've been over this.
They
had so many chances to do that, whatever that it means.
This is like the one time like Congress actually has to like get bipartisan with their shit is when the clock is ticking on a government shutdown. Which, like, fuck.
Anyway, seems to happen way too often.
Right. I'd say
it's like, what, every 3 months?
The result has been, I guess, productive for the government, but it's like
just forces them like, to do something.
What was the goal? Like, if he hadn't done this, like, the government would have gotten shut down.
Yeah, no, but
like
that's
like it does, like, every 6 months.
But that's what they want, because it's an election year, and they want to sow this chaos.
Under Joe Biden, our government has been shut down.
He just couldn't reach across the aisle and hand us everything that we wanted. And when even when he did, we still said no, because Trump told us not to.
Yeah, it's great. What a functional society we live in.
Hell yeah. Do it, Marge. Right now, it doesn't look like she's got a ton of support from other members, but Congress is about to have a 2-week recess. Oh, that's nice. They're always taking recesses, too.
And they can really stew on this.
And if this idea that Mike Johnson sabotaged the MAGA agenda by compromising with Democrats to avoid a government shutdown can catch on among influential conservatives, and maybe even Trump himself, we can achieve a hat trick of congressional dysfunction, the likes of which have never been seen before.
A bloodbath.
And adding to the chaos, one of the less insane GOP House members, Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin, took MTG's statements as the perfect opportunity to let everyone know he's resigning in just 3 weeks. I have had enough.
Yeah, he's Mike Johnson, fun piece of lore. He was the...
Mike Gallagher?
Mike Gallagher was the student body president at my high school when I was, I believe, a freshman or a sophomore.
Oh.
And yes, clearly one of those people that like from age 6 is just like, I'm going to be president someday.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just like boilerplate, like war on terror era conservative neocon. Mm-hmm. And just completely, he's like, well, this sucks. Wait, what happened?
Yeah.
I was training for this my whole life and it got taken over by fucking psychos.
Yeah.
Well, bye. I'm going to go be a consultant and make way more money.
Yeah. So he's leaving in 3 weeks, which will leave the Republicans again with just one vote majority for a little while. And the MAGA movement is pretty terrifying, but thankfully they're also very terrible at governing.
Yeah. They can't govern.
Yeah.
It's the one saving grace. Because if they were good at governing, we'd all be fucked.
The Simpsons image has now been switched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both kind of bad at governing, yeah, but the MAGA movement is particularly bad at it.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Yeah.
But moving on from Mike Johnson to another Johnson.
Big Johnson.
Brian Johnson, the attention-loving weirdo obsessed with living forever by devoting every waking moment of his life to longevity treatments. Eternal youth sounds pretty pointless if you don't actually get to enjoy any of it. But for Johnson, getting his dick poked and prodded with needles and using his son as a blood bag will all be worth it in the end when he's 200 years old and we're all fucking dead.
But a spry 200 he'll be.
Look who's alive now.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnson's plan isn't just about himself. He has much bigger plans, which he revealed at a recent longevity conference, as reported by the Daily Mail.
Multimillionaire biohacker Brian Johnson has become a cult-like hero in the longevity world. But now he might actually become a president. The tech mogul, 46, has amassed millions of fans and an equal amount of critics for his bizarre and shameless attempts to de-age himself, including swapping blood with his son, 17, and tracking his erections. But the entrepreneur turned longevity guru says he now plans to found his own Don't Die nation state for fellow anti-agers. Okay. It would welcome people from all across the world fighting to live longer, he said, and pool its citizens' resources to help everyone secure access to the tests, therapies, and supplements they need to help de-age their bodies. Eventually, it would also negotiate with other nation states for special access to treatments. But citizens may have to forgo foods such as donuts and pizza because eating junk food would be considered an act of violence. Even alcohol could be off limits. This man is starting a cult. He's starting a cult.
I mean, I don't think he started it, but he's taking charge.
And what if he made it to 200? Imagine this guy coming up to you in public. You're obviously not 200. You're someone that lives in the future. Mm-hmm. You're like 20. This guy comes up to you, hobbles up.
Hey, you want to feel my erection?
My penis is hard. It's as hard as yours, but I'm old.
Well, by then...
Please ask to see it.
By then, maybe my theory will have finally come to fruition. My theory that he, by de-aging his penis, he's actually going to go past adolescence, and he's going to have a baby dick.
My penis comes out of my butthole because it shrank too much.
My balls went back up into my body.
Oh, no, I went too far.
Continues, in the new nation, citizens would be seeking care which aims to prevent diseases from emerging in the first place. This would include talking to doctors to develop a personalized, strict diet and exercise regimen, which studies suggest can reduce the risk of a multitude of modern ailments from heart disease to Alzheimer's and even some cancers. Citizens would also help each other to secure blood tests to reveal nutrient deficiencies as well as therapies to boost de-aging in cells. This type of care would differ from the main healthcare system, which Brian claims is too focused on treating diseases once they arise. Citizens would gain healthcare access via their pooled resources, like health insurance, and via specialist contracts with providers. Citizens would also likely need to follow a version of the grueling blueprint plan with 5 a.m. wake-ups, early morning hour-long workouts, and a diet that never exceeds 2,250 calories. Items such as pizza and donuts would also be made no-go products for residents. Brian added, anything I do that increases death, I label an act of violence. So the act of eating pizza, donuts, Chick-fil-A, and drinking is an act of violence in itself.
I mean, there's something in there. I agree that especially the American healthcare system has no interest mainly in preventative care.
But the reason there's not enough preventative care is because going to the doctor is expensive, so people avoid doing it until they need to.
Expensive and a hassle. And a scheduling system that doesn't make any sense, and everything else.
Yeah, you book
but also prohibitively expensive.
Yeah, you book a. I booked my primary care visit for the year like 2 months ago, and it's finally coming up. In like 3 weeks, it's like it's that taking taking action, being on top of your health. Yeah. It's not a matter of just like no one knows about preventative care. It's like no, it's just hard.
Yeah, and the food stuff. It's like In a perfect world, like a 70-something ounce fucking Big Gulp wouldn't exist because why? But like also, it's just not going to fly here.
No.
Even me, like I try to eat better these days and fuck if I'm not going to have a pizza every once in a while.
Come on.
Yeah.
If I had to give a pizza, like what's even the point?
You can have my milkshake when you pry it from my very cold dead hands because I'm gripping my milkshake.
I'm gripping it.
Yeah. So it sounds like a great place to live. Is this, especially like if you're buying yourself so much time, theoretically, I get to live an extra 80 years, but you get to do so not having fun and not eating and doing whatever you want.
Yeah.
At some point, someone's going to light up a cigarette and just say, fuck it.
Yeah. And that person will be instantly like shot by a sniper in a bird's nest.
Yeah. Because they see the cherry glowing at night.
Yeah. It's, this is silly.
Someone's going to break and sneak some donuts on, and it's going to be curtains for so many people.
They are going to be hanged at the gallows at high noon.
You bring a box of Krispy Kreme in here? That is an act of terrorism, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Might as well have brought a bag full of anthrax.
Get out.
Fuck out. You're dead.
So, yeah, you'd spend half your free time going to the doctor, and it's a high crime to eat junk food or just wake up at a normal hour.
Mm-mm. Sir, you are under arrest.
I'd like to sleep in. You sleep forever. So, yeah, paradise. We'd, obviously be curious to learn more about the justice system of Johnson Land, like what the specific punishments will be for consuming sugar, but we're not going to put too much thought into it because, again, this is not going to happen.
Just
not going to happen.
And much like that Titanic 2, it's no point in speculating too much because none of this is going to happen.
Yeah,
this is... I'm going to make my own country. Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Have fun doing that. Keep yourself nice and busy.
Yeah, that's the thing that's easy to do. Yeah. Just make my own country.
Anyway, let's move on to some news from an actual country that exists in real life. Japan. One of the American brands that caught on in Japan to a kind of absurd degree is Kentucky Fried Chicken. Japan is KFC's third largest market after the US and China, which is kind of insane considering Japan's population is less than half that of the United States and less than a tenth that of China. And this success has resulted in a rather odd superstition related to a baseball incident in the 1980s that's believed by some to have resulted in the ghost of Colonel Sanders putting a curse on one of Japan's professional baseball teams. We can tie this back into the Shohei Ohtani thing somehow, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the two biggest American, like, concepts to catch on in Japan were Southern Fried Chicken and baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And here they are coming together.
Yeah. What's it like when worlds collide?
So here's an article in France 24 from a few months back explaining what is called the curse of the Colonel. Dozens of baseball fans in Osaka hurled themselves into a filthy city center river and partied long into the night after the Hanshin Tigers won the Japan Series for only the second time in their history. The country's most passionately supported team beat the Oryx Buffaloes in the final game of the best of seven series late on Sunday night to win the title for the first time since 1985. It lifted the so-called Curse of the Colonel, which warned that the Tigers would never win another Japan series after fans threw a plastic statue of Colonel Sanders snatched from a nearby KFC restaurant into the river the last time they won the title. Police had warned fans not to jump into the Dotonbori River, which authorities had described as like swimming in toilet water. But the warning went unheeded after the Tigers' latest victory, with cheers erupting every time a fan hurled themselves into the murky water, though no injuries were reported. One man even arrived for the celebrations dressed as Colonel Sanders and was duly tossed into the river.
No! That's how you get the curse going again.
We just ended this.
If a statue got a curse, then throwing essentially the real Colonel Sanders.
A living, breathing Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Buddy, we just fixed this. It took more than 30 years.
Sure, let's start another one though. Then there's an excuse for losing.
I do love, like, more than any other sport, baseball is so fucking superstitious.
it's fantastic. Like, when it gets to, like, playoffs time, you can't do anything.
Yeah, no, it gets into, like, so... There's just so many weird little curses that... I mean, but, like, this is similar to the Babe Ruth curse that he put on the Red Sox for trading him to the Yankees.
Is that the curse of the Bambino? Is that what that actually is? Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, there's a... Wow. There was one involving a goat. What was that one?
I don't know. We have our own problems here. They really did fuck up Chavez Ravine. Like, the ghosts Chavez Ravine definitely haunt the Dodgers.
If any team in the MLB is just, like, intrinsically cursed, it would be the Dodgers. They just straight up displaced an entire fucking
neighborhood. Like, no, it's going to be fine. Just get out for a bit. And then just fucking bulldozed it.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. And we're still paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
Not one day. Reset the calendar. Days without scandal. Mm-hmm. Zero.
The curse is still going, and there's no way out of it. They literally, like, the Chavez Ravine thing's crazy because they didn't even bother, like, doing a full demolition. They just filled it in.
Yeah.
So, like, if you dig down under the parking lot, like, there's, like, artifacts. It's crazy.
Yeah. Also, his interpreter, like, I think Moore came out and basically said that, like, at some point, he maybe had misinterpreted to Ohtani in order to get the response that he wanted to give back. There's a lot going on with it, and the MLB has opened an official investigation.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And if you want more on the Shohei Ohtani scandal,
we have a video.
The latest Dodgers curse, our most recent video cover.
So yeah, baseball, it's a very superstitious sport, and it's no surprise that that's true over in Japan as well. In 2009, 24 years after the curse began, the statue of Colonel Sanders was recovered from the river during construction work. It's lifted the curse. And for years, it's been a weird monument for both baseball fans and fried chicken enjoyers. But with the curse seemingly now lifted after the Tigers' championship victory last year, it was time to put the statue to rest. Here's Japanese newspaper, the Asahi Shimbun.
A memorial service was held here for a figure beloved by Hanshin Tigers fans, but also reviled as the source of the team's decades-long championship drought. A statue of Colonel Sanders, with its white beard and white suit badly stained and deteriorating, was laid to rest after a rather peculiar life. Although now a part of Japanese baseball lore, KFC Holdings Japan decided to dispose of the statue. On March 8th, the company held Ningyo Kuyo, a special memorial service for dolls and stuffed animals for the Colonel Sanders statue at Sumiyoshi Taisha Shrine in Osaka. Takayuki Hanji, president of the company, and other executives attended the service, offered sake and fried chicken, and said goodbye. The company revealed the sad news on March 19th. "We want to thank all of the fans for their friendship and love for the statue," the company said in a statement.
Thanks everyone for coming out. Really appreciate it. It is awesome that like the head of the company showed up.
I love, like, in Japan, like they just have like a fucking ritual or festival and, for like fucking everything. That's the cool thing about them.
Always something going on.
Always something.
And yeah, there is video of the ritual, and it's pretty bizarre seeing a statue of an American fast food icon get honored as if it's some sort of ancient artifact. It's like seeing your custom character in a serious cutscene. It's bizarre. But on the other hand, this is probably the most respectful thing the KFC company has done for its founder for a very long time. Yeah. Considering you'd never guess Colonel Sanders was a real person the way that KFC in the US uses him in their marketing these days. I believe they had like some sort of like, he sold off the company and then like they changed the recipe and he was fucking pissed for years. And eventually they brought him back in.
Yeah, as a mascot.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, he somehow they got him to like sign over
his likeness.
His likeness in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. And so we have just this weird thing where like he's a character, mm-hmm. but this was a person who lived a life. Yeah. He existed.
Not a real colonel either.
And yeah, just the way when you think about that and then look at just like the way they use him in marketing, where it's like there's always some new Colonel Sanders gimmick. They got different actors playing Colonel Sanders. Yeah. They got Colonel Sanders anime. Like it's very bizarre. Like I feel like even like McDonald's and Burger King, like they're a little like more protective of their mascots than KFC is of their founder.
You know who, and I only have all this weird info because of all the food shows I watch, but you know who got hounded constantly when he was alive and out and about all the time?
Dave Thomas?
No, the fucking...
Jared?
No, Orville Redenbacher.
Oh.
A real person.
Wait, he was real too?
He was real and he would get like swarmed. Like, that's the popcorn guy!
It's the popcorn... What?
Yeah. I didn't. Well, there weren't a lot of like mascots back then, and he was a real living person.
I figured he was fake. I thought he was going to be like a Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben guy.
Uh-uh.
But for racists.
Yeah.
Hey, don't use that slave pancakes and syrup. We got a real fucking plantation owner here making popcorn.
That syrup's called like something Mills now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That took a while, but it was time.
It certainly was.
And conservatives, of course, lost their fucking minds.
Oh, yeah,
it.
No. How am I going to have pancakes? I can't buy syrup anymore.
I can't enjoy my pancakes unless I'm pouring my maple syrup out of a miniature slave woman's head.
Yeah.
They also got got mad at the butter with the Native American girl on it.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to enjoy my butter?
Where'd my favorite butter go? I can't.
It's so stupid.
So moving on now to some international news, though, this time out of Argentina. Living in an apartment building often means dealing with loud music from your neighbors, and it's even more annoying when it's a genre of music that you can't stand. But a man in Argentina has taken it upon himself to do something about his situation by using his technical know-how to build a device that will ensure fewer headaches. Here's El Pais.
Roni Bandini once woke up every day to reggaeton songs that his neighbor blasted at full volume, until, finally, he couldn't take it anymore. He didn't knock on his neighbor's door and ask for the volume to be turned down. Instead, he developed an autonomous machine to take care of the situation. The Argentine musician and programmer manufactured a device that works with artificial intelligence to detect reggaeton and interfere with Bluetooth speakers that emit the genre until the music stops. It's called Reggaeton Begone, inspired by the old TV Begone, a device that was used 20 years ago to turn off annoying speakers and televisions in bars and restaurants. Since making his invention public on social media, Bandini has been compared to Messi and Maradona in Argentina. For many people, he's now a hero and deserving of the Nobel Peace Prize.
The first step to create a machine capable of jamming the reggaeton signal is to train an AI system to recognize the genre. Then, by using a Linux computer, Bandini scans the Bluetooth signals to determine which may belong to the speakers emitting the noise. From this point onwards, the machine takes charge, he notes. Reggaeton Begone recognizes thousands of songs. Once it identifies any one of them, it generates signal interferences and counterattacks the speakers by sending several connection requests in order to cause a disconnection or to at least deteriorate the sound quality. For the machine to work, the volume of the neighbor's reggaeton has to be high enough, he clarifies. Before you say anything, I totally understand that interfering with a neighbor's speakers could be illegal. But on the other hand, he defends himself. Listening to reggaeton every day at 9 a.m. should definitely be illegal.
Sir, we find you innocent. No
crime.
It's
9 a.m. You should be up. You should be up cooking breakfast or something.
Woo, woo.
That's just the alarm.
So, yeah, I mean, even if what this man did is technically a crime, it is a cool crime in our book. Mm-hmm. That's too early for reggaeton, in my opinion.
They should do one that picks up the noise of loud mufflers and shuts those cars off. Because that is very annoying, especially when they turn on their cars in an apartment complex garage and all the other car alarms start going off.
Oh, yeah, that's real. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But moving on to our next story, it would be great if some tech-savvy genius could create a device that somehow stops American elementary school teachers from teaching their students about slavery in the most tone-deaf ways imaginable.
They did it again.
We have been doing this show for a long time, folks. Yeah. And every single year, especially in and around Black History Month, we get news about some completely insane thing a teacher did while trying to teach students about America's most fucked up chapter, or I don't know, second most fucked up chapter, depending on how you rank slavery next to the genocide of Native people. Mm-hmm. We've got multiple just dark stains on this country's legacy. Anyways, here's the latest example of a totally unforced error in American education via Pennsylvania's WJAC.
Two Somerset County parents say they were surprised to find what they say is an alarming assignment brought home by their fifth grade daughter last week. Conemaugh Township Elementary parents Shannon and Kenneth Poole say their daughter brought home an assignment last week instructing students to pretend to be a white master looking to buy a slave. On Thursday morning, we got an assignment in our daughter's schoolwork folder, and it was basically a colored-in worksheet that was titled Auctions, Winnings to the Highest Bidder. And it was an assignment wherein the fifth graders were supposed to portray slave masters and identify what qualifications they wanted in their slave, the father said. The Pools say the assignment asked the students to draw and describe the living quarters, as well as various scenarios that would occur on a plantation. They say their daughter lost points when she wrote that she would treat the slaves nicely. F.
Mm-mm. No.
You're going to have to do better than that.
This is so... God, every time. Like, okay, how do I reach these kids? Let's do an assignment where we essentially like ask them to role play as a slave master and be like, wouldn't it be awesome to have a slave? They used to be able to do that. It's bad, but they had a slave that they could tell to do whatever the hell they wanted. Mm-hmm. It was terrible though. Don't do it. But let's pretend that you did do it. What would you do? How would that work? Mm-hmm. Oh, you'd be nice to them? Mm-mm. No, that's not part of it. You have to be mean to them. Anyway, adding to the insanity of this, the parents' initial complaints were apparently totally ignored by school officials. And the story only gained attention when they posted a photo of the assignment to Reddit. And yeah, this is totally nuts. So the part she got docked points for is the living quarters section, where she wrote, "The slave will live in a clustered shack with a bed, dresser, and mini table. I will lay nice clothes for the slave every day. The slave can also eat with the family. I will also treat him nicely." Nope. Wrong answer. I don't think so. No way.
Under job description, she writes, "I would like a male slave that will collect and grow cotton, rice, tobacco, and wheat." And then you can see that she erased what she wrote after that. "Also keep me company."
Oh my God.
And there's a little drawing in the bottom corner where she's waving hi to her slave, and the happy slave responds, "All done," with a smiley face. So it doesn't really seem like this lesson did much to drive home the only real lesson about slavery that needs to be taught, which is that it was fucking horrible and evil, which, yeah, is pretty difficult to convey to children. But good God, there's got to be a better way, because this ain't it.
Yeah, it's just that's every time this happens. It's like when they make students go out and pick cotton and see who can pick the most cotton. It's like
the most famous YouTube video.
Like, yeah,
that guy's story.
But it was just like, the message is clearly not getting through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, slavery, I mean, there's a lot to it, but it's not complicated. You were enslaving other people against their will for generations.
Yeah.
Abducting them from another continent. And
abusing and killing them.
And half this country was so committed to keeping other human beings as property that they fought a very bloody war to try and continue doing that. I mean, it's not pretty, but God damn, this is this is not the way to teach.
No. Well, moving on, we do have the headlines half of the show coming up in a second. But first, this episode is sponsored by ZocDoc. You know when you get cornered by that aunt at a family gathering and you feel like you have to bend the truth? You know, the one who asks when you're getting married or what's going on with that promotion or why you still haven't moved out of your mom and dad's basement, only for her to not really listen and just judge you? While you may have to grin and bear it with your family, you shouldn't feel that way when talking to your doctor about that rash that weirdly looks like your high school crush. Enter ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. We're not talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews, so you can make sure the vibes are vibing before you ever meet IRL. With ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And these docs all have verified reviews from actual real patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments.
After so many years of navigating this country's dysfunctional health insurance system, this is something that would have saved both of us so much time, stress, and annoyance, but it is finally here. So go to ZocDoc.com/weeklyweird and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That is ZocDoc.com/weeklyweird. ZocDoc.com/weeklyweird.
And now it's time for the headlines half of the show.
They're crazy. They're wild. They're from all over the world.
Wild, crazy headlines.
It's gonna be crazy. You're gonna say, wow, my stars, how weird are these?
Or in the case of this first headline, you're just gonna feel kind of shitty at how absurdly evil this world is.
Yeah.
Because here it is. Jared Kushner says Gaza's waterfront property could be very valuable.
I wonder, like,
I don't know about you, but when I look at an entire region just being utterly flattened by constant bombings and just untold tens of thousands of people being killed indiscriminately, mm-hmm. the first thing on my mind is, hey, pretty nice view right there.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. That's
beachfront property.
That would be a great spot for my cabana.
It's one of the most evil things you could say, especially as someone in a family of real estate developers.
Yeah.
Hey, this is all working out pretty nicely, actually.
I mean, we would have had to go in with bulldozers before, but the bombs already did all the work. So that's great. You save money up front.
It is a very evil thing to say. It's a very evil thought to have. This guy said it out loud, and he was the president's son-in-law.
Yeah, no, and this is, as terrible as Joe Biden has been on this topic, it is true. Trump would arguably be even worse, unless Trump, just to get one over on Biden, decided to go the other way just to be contrarian, but I wouldn't count on it. Yeah.
This is a real estate opportunity.
Like, Trump, Biden, the best you can say is he's taken a very passive role in all this. It feels like this is an indication that under Trump, they might take a more active role because that's real estate to be developed by Trump and his son-in-law, who are both real estate people.
This quote is coming from the person who was in charge of peace in the Middle East during the Trump administration.
Yeah, and
so that gives you an idea of what peace in the Middle East looks like to a Trump administration official.
There's a map that, like, Jared Kushner's people put together, like, while Trump was in office, of, like, his plan for Israel-Palestine. And it is, like, the funniest fucking thing. Like, if you know anything about this region, it's just like, oh yeah, we'll build like a fucking tunnel that's like 80 miles long so that people can go between Gaza and the West Bank.
Remember when him and his wife were crying because they were ousted from all like the high-end society stuff in New York?
Yeah, sorry, you're done. Yeah.
And you're not getting back in with fucking shit? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, this is
literally evil words. Why are you saying the evil words?
You're a bad person,
yeah.
Sir.
Let's move on, though. A student persuaded by his friend to get his legs amputated for a $1.3 million insurance scam wound up getting only $7,200 that he now has to return, according to prosecutors.
Yeah, that didn't work out so great.
No, and now you don't have any legs.
Yeah, his friend convinced... So this is in Taiwan. This is the funniest thing. His friend convinced him that, like, oh, if you just, like, dip your legs in fucking dry ice for, like, hours and hours and give yourself frostbite... then they'll have to amputate him at the doctor's, and it's Taiwan. It's like a fucking swamp.
They're going to be like, where the fuck did this happen?
It is hot as shit there year round. And so their explanation was like, oh, I was riding on a motorcycle all night last night and like the breeze must have given me frostbite. And the doctors like immediately, they're just like, okay, frostbite doesn't look like it's just like a clear, just like no frostbite, frostbite.
Like, throw my jean shorts like, cut off.
That's not how it fucking works. So yeah, lost his legs, didn't get anywhere near what he was told would be the insurance payout and now gets nothing.
Well, he learned a lesson.
A very important lesson. Yeah, when your friend tells you that you can make a quick buck getting your legs removed, don't listen.
This also proves one of my darkest theories. Mr. Beast could get someone to cut their own legs off for a video if he really wanted
to. He could.
That's the power he has.
He could be a real sick fuck.
We all owe it to Mr. Beast that he hasn't done that yet.
Yeah, no, he's shown mercy upon the human race by not.
He's just toying with us right now.
Yeah.
These little games, they're leading to something.
We currently have a benevolent Mr. Beast, and let's keep it that way.
Don't, because I don't want anger the Beast.
Yeah.
He has that name for a reason.
Yes.
You haven't seen it yet.
Mark of the Beast.
Yeah.
Hairless raccoon found in Cape Breton puzzles wildlife rescuers. And I mostly put this here because have you ever wondered what a hairless raccoon looks like?
No, but I am curious.
It looks
now.
Fucking interesting. So it looks like a dog, but like with cat, like a dog with like a cat body. It's and hairless, obviously. Yeah. But like the head, like it, that's a fucking dog. But then it's got the raccoon body that's got like hands and shit. It's I would have never guessed looking at that.
Does it look
but
like
that's
a rat
a raccoon
or something like a rat, a big rat.
No, honestly, like for hairless animals, like it doesn't look that bad. A lot of animals, you remove the hair and you're like, wow, that's a downgrade.
You know, it's probably self-conscious though.
Yeah,
it doesn't like the way it looks.
But anyway, yeah, they found it up in Canada, I think, and they're just like taking it in for all these tests, and they're like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. It just doesn't have hair.
And it's really sad about that.
They figured maybe it was like some infectious disease or who knows, but like, no, the raccoon's fine, just no hair. So.
Well, they love their raccoons up in Canada.
Do they?
We just recently spoke about when they did a memorial for that one that was dead on the side of the road.
That was like 8 years ago.
I know.
Just recently.
No, but we talked about it. We brought it up recently.
Just recently.
But 20, they should honor 15? This raccoon. It's hairless. Treat it like a god.
They should throw him in the river.
No, then it'll be cursed. The Blue Jays will never. Yeah,
Oh, no, the raccoon's curse.
They'll send the Expos back up there to...
They should. Expos had a great the aesthetic.
Yeah. It was a cool design.
It was an M, but Montreal it was also like a B and a... I think it was two Bs, like baseball.
Yeah.
But a bat, one of them backwards.
I think technically the Tampa Bay Rays are the Expos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Montreal, we need a Francophile baseball team again.
Yeah.
In Montreal.
The curse of the hairless raccoon. Speaking of Canada, Montreal man returns from vacation, gets a letter from Quebec government saying he's dead.
I mean, yeah, they're very...
What a vacation.
They're very serious about national identity or regional identity in Quebec. They want it to be national identity. Mm-hmm. And if you go on an extended vacation, buddy, you're no longer Québécois. Mm. You are... You've done your little
rumspringa.
You've gone woke. But yeah, this guy just went to like Costa Rica or some shit for like a month or two and got back. I guess he'd gotten some... parking tickets, and after like three letters, they're like, "Well, must be dead."
Ho ho! 2 minute tickets.
And so, he talked to a lawyer, and he's like, "You need to fix this as soon as possible. This is bad. When the government thinks you're dead, that's a big problem." And he like can't get on the phone with the Quebec government because they're all French, and like you know, they work like 2 hours a week.
Yeah.
Always on their siesta. Well, that's Spain, but you know, you get the joke.
Well,
so yeah,
good luck to him on the new life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Florida hunter mistakes man for turkey, shoots him in the head, police say.
You don't understand. I clearly thought it was a gigantic turkey.
I mean, do we know whether he was a turkey or not? Let's find out about him.
Yeah.
He's, you know, some people have that turkey spirit.
The turkey is a derogatory term, I believe.
He's a real turkey, if you know what I mean. But yeah, I don't know. I mean,
good excuse.
A man and a turkey don't look all that similar. But hey, great shot. Got him in the head. It was buckshot. Or not buckshot. It was
the guy
bird
survived,
shot.
Right?
Yeah, it was bird shot. He got like a pellet in his head and like another one in his chest.
Damn, that turkey just won't go down. I got to pump more ammo into it.
It's coming right for us.
Yeah. Tennessee lawmakers proposed legislation banning chemtrails.
God, this country is so fucking stupid. So chemtrails aren't fucking real. The little, the cloudy lines that
It's the way that the jet stream hits with the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's basically water very quickly due to pressure going from a gas into a solid, forming into crystals, basically turning into clouds. But people think it's the government putting like mind control chemicals in the air. And it's like, I don't know, if I was the government and I wanted to, and mind control chemicals were real and I wanted them to go to the people, like, I'd just put it in the fucking water. What are you, stupid?
I'd put it in
this is very, like, inefficient, doing it, like, 35,000 feet in the air.
I would put it in the base of a Stanley cooler.
Yes.
Where it's safe. Very safe.
Yeah, I wouldn't do this. Like, how... Yeah.
It's so funny, though, because it's like, the idea of, like, mind control or whatever is, like, it's so easy now with, like, the internet and everything like that. It's just, like, imagine spraying the entire country to apparently very minimal effect because...
Yeah, like, what... I mean, this has been going on for decades now.
If it was working, you wouldn't be arguing against it because you wouldn't even fucking know.
Yeah, this chemtrail thing, the government has been trying it for like 60 years. Hasn't worked yet, but they're still at it. Every plane that goes up, all the like tens of thousands of planes that go up around the world, they're going to each one and filling up the tank with the mind control juice.
It's like leaded or unleaded gasoline. They make sure to put the mind control gas in the plane.
I mean... Unleaded gas is kind of it just makes you dumber and more prone to anger. Mm-hmm. But interstellar signal linked to aliens was actually just a truck.
Oh, one time we're going to talk to him though.
Yeah, this is a funny thing with like science, like they're picking up, I guess it was like the same time like an asteroid hit the ocean, like this listening station picked up some sort of weird signal that seemed to indicate to them that it was possibly a UFO going down, but it turned out it was just a truck happened to pass the antenna as the asteroid came down. So they were like synced up in a way where like, that's fucking weird. It's similar. There's like another story. I can't remember the details of it, but there was this scientific lab that spent like 6 months trying to figure out like why these little blips in radiation like kept showing up on their measurements. And it just turned out there was one guy at the office who, instead of pressing the stop button on the microwave, would just open the door before it stopped. And so there was like a split second of the radiation getting out.
Yeah.
Science is fun. But apparently,
it's trial
and
error,
really
baby.
Dumb a lot of the time.
Trial and error. One of these times, though, it's going to be...
It's going to be aliens one of these days.
We did have the one, I'm going to mispronounce it, but it's like Oumuamua. The one where they were like, it's accelerating and decelerating at a rate.
Did they ever figure that one out?
There was theories, but none of them were confirmed. But it did appear to be something that was created, not natural.
Yeah.
And it accelerated in a way. One of the big theories is that it was being propelled by stars, like the sun's energy. And so when it picked up speed really fast, it was because it had caught the sun's rays or something. Very strange. And apparently they caught it too late. They couldn't even like, it was like, oh, it already left.
Bye.
So the truth is out there.
See you in 10,000 years. Yeah.
Japanese city warned to beware of cat who fell into vat of toxic chemicals.
They got supervillains.
Hey, we don't know, but just be on the lookout.
Be on the lookout for a cat dressed like a clown.
Yeah.
With a big gun, but he fires it and it just says bang when it comes out.
And if he asks you to smell his flower, Don't do it. You're gonna get a face
flower.
Full of water.
And he's dancing to Prince. He's going into art galleries and tagging up priceless works of art.
Mm-hmm.
This cat, like, I don't know what the chemical is. It's something really bad. It's like extremely carcinogenic. The workers who handle it are in like full, like multi-layer hazmat suits. But somehow a fucking stray cat, like, well, they didn't see it go in. They just like went over to the tank and there's like paw prints in like the deadly
the
chemical.
The perfect crime.
So the city is just like, hey, if you see a stray cat that is, I don't know,
glowing?
acting weird in any way, don't go near it because it will give you cancer.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been spotted, so they're assuming that the cat just died.
It probably did, which is probably obviously dead. Sad.
Yeah, but, it's not good, but yeah.
But another great news, leprosy is spreading in Florida.
Yay. You know, we wanted to take this country back to biblical principles. And part of that is bringing back biblical diseases.
Mm-hmm. They've also been the spawn point for a bunch of measles, the measles outbreak that's currently spreading.
They are...
The Miami-Dade school system.
That one's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, leprosy is just like one of those that's like always been around. Mm-hmm. They do have treatments for it now.
Yeah, they put them on an island.
That was the fucked up thing about leper colonies is, so this is like before germ theory, but people still did have like some idea of like contagiousness. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand how that worked, but they knew that like if you were close to sick people, you might get sick yourself. So leprosy, it just like fucks you up. You look crazy, your fingers start falling off. People were like, oh, definitely don't want to be around that. Send those people away to an island. And like, but it actually turns out leprosy is like not really contagious at all, which is crazy because like they don't know how the fuck they're getting it in Florida. The only way that they know that people in the U.S. get it is by touching armadillos because they carry the bacteria that gives it. But they're like, it's Florida. There's no fucking armadillos.
Well, yeah, there are.
Are there?
Yeah.
Native?
Yeah.
Really?
I'd see them on the side of the road all the time when I was growing up. Dead or alive.
I thought armadillos were a desert animal.
Mm-mm.
What
Definitely
the
saw
fuck?
Armadillos there. And that like begs the question, like they're probably taking these dead armadillos and like eating them or something. Because yeah, they're roadkill all over the place.
I did not know that. I assumed armadillos were like a Arizona, New Mexico, Texas.
You're making thing. Me, you're gaslighting me into thinking that I didn't live this reality, but I'm almost positive that I did. I remember seeing armadillos on the side of the road.
Okay.
I don't think I'm crazy. You'll let me know in the comments. I'll look it up immediately after we start done filming.
My mind is blown. I did not know they were distributed that far southeast.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Final headline. Little Rascals, ages 11, 12, and 16, arrested after Texas bank robbery. Police.
Yeah, they were all stacked on top of each other.
No, they weren't.
In a trench coat.
No, they weren't.
No,
were they?
They weren't. But like, this is wild. Like, literally robbing a bank at 11 years old.
Wild.
Like, yeah, it's a bold move, but also it's smart. If you're going to rob a bank, do it before you turn 18 because the state really can't do that much to you.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, lesson learned. Don't do it again.
You know, they did break up. They found the ringleaders of one of those retail theft gangs.
Yeah, it was just some lady.
White guy and old white lady.
Yeah. They had like an entire like second house like full of
and selling and it was, second hand on like, Amazon and
this
stuff.
This crazy like nationwide network where they were running the whole thing and like hiring people online to do the thefts and then mail the stolen goods to them, and they kept it in like this organized like fucking like essentially a fulfillment center at their place, and then would sell that shit on eBay like marked down lower than retail. That was the dead giveaway.
They caught him. So, yes, there was an organized thing going on. It was two suburban white people orchestrating everything and hiring people online to do it.
Mm-hmm.
People who were desperate for money. And in a lot of cases, teenagers.
Yeah.
Who they knew would not get in trouble for it.
So, yeah, we need to do something about the people organizing these theft rings. Mm-hmm. I say we deport them. Them and Harry, they can get out.
Anyways, way to go, kids. Not really. Not a cool crime. But,
no.
Yeah. Pretty crazy to see that.
But can you imagine being that bank teller? You see three little rascals walk up.
Hey, what are you kids up to today? You want a lollipop?
I mean,
I want all the cash.
Isn't there a scene in the Little Rascals movie where they go to the, and Mel Brooks is like the bank teller.
Yeah.
And I imagine it went exactly
out,
like that.
The same way. And then they spend all the money on water slides and ice cream.
Yeah. Like kids do.
Yep. Anyways, that's it for today's episode. If you missed it, if you want a little, international but also local news, the Shohei Ohtani drama is still playing out, but we have stuff on. And you get a final taste of the Marchioness of Shalom Delay, who will finally go back into the shadows.
She's been written off the show.
But for one last hurrah, she has been accused of pilfering Chinese artifacts.
Yeah, like every British noble person.
Yeah, it comes with the territory. Also, we have Tech News Day, which of course talks about how Elon Musk is a bad guy.
Not a good person.
Like the video, leave a comment, reply to a comment, make sure you subscribe to the channel, but make sure you like the video, and we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.